Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our AIM weekend. We are so excited to have you here, so grateful that you have come, and we are expecting God to do amazing things in our few days together here. So thank you for coming. I wonder how many of you, this is your very first AIM to be a part of? Wow, just a few. Most of you are veterans. Now, often we'll ask questions like, you know, who's been here the longest and who's been at Mount Hermon the longest this afternoon or this morning? And our prayer time, we have a woman who's been coming to Mount Hermon for 80 years. 80 years. But I wonder if you would stand, if you are 39 years or younger, would you stand up in this room? Yeah, yeah, look at that. All right. We are so glad to see you here, too, and we really want to continue to build what happens with our younger people as well, and you're going to hear a lot of stories in the next, how many hours we're together. You're going to be inspired, but most of all, we're here to give praise and glory to God, and so on just behalf of our whole staff and our board, I want to welcome you. If you don't know who I am, I'm Mike Romberger. I have the privilege of being the CEO and president here. It was 3 years ago that this was my first week on staff. And Jane and our family hadn't moved yet with me because we still had to have graduations and kids finish school. But the family flew out for this weekend. And if you were here, you remember that was a time when got to be up front and you guys prayed for us. And it was a very special weekend. And so this means a lot. And Jane and I at dinner tonight, we looked around and we said, look at how many people we know now compared to 3 years ago. We feel very blessed. We still don't know as many as we'd like, and that will continue to happen. But we are so grateful for the richness of getting to know so many of you these last 3 years. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to worship together. So let's bow before the Lord. Lord, thank you for this beautiful weekend that you've given to us. Thank you for this ministry that is yours, Lord, that we're here to highlight. And really, Lord, we're here to highlight you. We love you, we love serving you, and we're grateful to do so here at Mount Hermon. So Lord, give you thanks and pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Our worship leaders are Andrew Summers and his wife Elizabeth, married almost a year now, four more months till a year, so very much newlyweds. They also happen to be our next door neighbors, and they're going to lead us in worship, so thank you guys.
Well, let's all stand to our feet if you are able, and we are going to spend some time just remembering the goodness of our God, remembering all that he's done, and he's the center. He's the reason that we're all here this weekend, and so let's lift our voices together in praise.
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. All right, you know this part. Then sings my soul. Buried, sent him to die. I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly buried, even led and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul. Sings my soul. fill my heart, then I shall bow in humble adoration and then proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slain.
Good to worship with you tonight. You can all take a seat.
All right, well, good evening. For those of you that I can see, you look so sharp and dapper tonight. Yes, we're glad you're here. You know, I came in a little bit before dinner in here, and I saw this for the first time, and it struck me how true this is. He restores my soul. Is there any larger impact than that? We didn't really weave that all together because that verse was chosen long before we picked the impact theme, but we all know that Mount Hermon is a place where lives are impacted by the truth of Jesus and then transformed through his love. Those lives and their stories make up the theme for this weekend. So tonight, we are going to, and tomorrow, we'll be sharing stories from a myriad of the ministry outposts that make up Mount Hermon. And we want you to hear those stories because we believe that there's really no better way that you can know the significance of the impact that you have on lives through your gifts, through your prayers, through your service, than to hear firsthand how these lives have been impacted. And we hope you'll be touched by these stories in the same way that we have, and that you will leave here more committed than ever, that God has called you to a place to partner with him in the work that he does through your participation as Mount Hermon Associates. So we thank you for being here. And we look forward for the Lord to reveal himself through the stories that you're about to hear.
Good evening. My name is Kelsey Patterson, and I have the privilege of getting to work with our junior high and high school and young adult programs here at Mount Hermon during the summer and throughout the year. And as I was reflecting on a story of impact in the lives of students within this last year, there was one that very quickly came to my mind. Many of you know that last summer at Ponderosa Lodge, our theme for the summer was studying Luke 15 and the truth that God's love makes us found. And throughout Luke 15, we see that God's love makes us found through the story that Jesus tells of a lost sheep, a lost coin, and then two lost sons. And so throughout the entire summer, we were communicating this truth that God rejoices when something that was once lost becomes found, and it is cause for great celebration, and he welcomes us home with open arms. And so throughout the summer, there was one week, and it was a junior high week at Ponderosa, and it was packed. There are about 200 students, and there was one night that we were sitting in the forum for our evening forum time. And throughout the course of the week, we had been looking at Luke 15, and we were at the part in Luke 15 where the first lost son is returning home, and the father runs to greet him and welcomes him home with open arms and says, "Let us celebrate, for my son, which was lost, is now found." And so in this day that we were at Forum, in that evening, students had been thinking about this truth all day and for the entire week, that we are never too lost and that God welcomes us home with open arms. And so in that evening, as a speaker, his name is Rich, as Rich was communicating this truth and really driving it home at the end of this day, that students and everything they had been doing that day pointed back to this truth. And he was giving them an opportunity, saying, if you have not given your life to Jesus, here is an opportunity to do so. And so he communicated with them, saying, this is what I'm about to tell you about, and I'm giving you an opportunity to accept this and say, I want to live for Jesus. I was sitting in the back of the forum. It was a hot summer night, and I was sitting in the back row and just watching as this packed room of 200 11 to 12, 13-year-olds were sitting there with their staff, the counselors. And Rich gave the opportunity, said, if you want to give your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you to stand up. And the room was lit. And I've seen many speakers do different ways of giving students an opportunity. And I was thinking, I'll confess, I was thinking to myself, that's pretty bold for our junior high students as they're sitting in this crowd with all of their peers and the staff that they look up to stand and say, I want to give my life to Jesus. And so he gave them the opportunity, and I was sitting in the back, and I saw as these little heads just stood up all throughout the crowd, and there was about 12 of them. And they stayed standing, and he prayed with them, and he walked them through giving their life to Jesus. And then what he did next is going to stay with me for forever. Because he said, I want you to stay standing, because as we've been seeing throughout this entire week, when something is lost, it is cause for rejoicing and cause for celebration. And so he said, everyone sitting in here, you know what we get to do now. We get to celebrate and we get to rejoice. And for those of you who are standing, he gave them this charge. He said, when you go home, it may be difficult. It's hard following Jesus. It is the best thing, but it is sometimes the hardest thing. And so when you go home and you feel lonely, or you feel doubt, or you're afraid, or you're struggling, and you're like, I don't really know how to best do this, he said, I want you to remember what is about to happen, and to remember what you see, and remember what you hear. And so he counted us down, and he said, 3, 2, 1, and the forum erupted. And I was sitting in the back, and I just was overwhelmed. Because I have spent the last 10 summers of my life at Ponderosa, and every morning and every evening in the forum. And I can tell you, we play music loud, we worship Jesus loud, we cheer for our teams loud, but I have never heard the forum be that loud before. It roared. And I sat in the back just overwhelmed at what I was witnessing, and I saw counselors get up on their feet, and their faces were just with exhilaration looking at the young students next to them and what they had decided to do in giving their lives to Jesus. And I sat there and I thought a few thoughts. I thought, I am watching students literally entering the kingdom of God right now. And I'm watching these students who I know I get to now spend eternity with. And I thought, God, I don't deserve this. I am sitting here witnessing this. I don't deserve this gift of getting to witness and participate in this. But thank you. As I was sitting there, I noticed, and Rich went on to wrap up the night, and there was a student who was standing next to me. And so I didn't know if he had just come into the forum, if he had been there the whole time. But I noticed that he was standing next to me, and he was a student that I knew pretty well, because the summer before, in 2016, when he was a little bit younger, he had had a rough week at camp, and I had had many conversations with his counselors, with his parents, saying, we want this student to be at camp. There are some things that we're just needing to kind of figure out as he's learning about himself, as a junior higher, figuring out how to best manage himself. And there was a time in 2016, near the end of the week, that I was having these different conversations, and I thought, I don't know if it's best for him to finish out this week. I don't know if it's best for him or best for the other students. And I had a staff member, one of the men on the leadership team, said, please let him stay. I've worked with him all week. I know this student. I know his family. Let me work with him. And if something happens, I'll be there. But I've developed a relationship with him, and I'll be able to know what's going to set him off or not. Please let me work with him. And he was able to finish out the week because of the staff member, and he finished out the week. I talked with his parents, and so when the student was coming back for 2017, I had told his parents, let me know as he's learning and as he's learning more about himself throughout the year what helps so that then we can set him up for success in 2017. And so he was back this week, and it was a student that was standing with me. And he had a great week. He had learned a lot. A lot happens in a year for a junior higher. And he had learned a lot about how to best manage himself, when to step out of an activity, when to participate, and he had had a good week. Later that night, after everything had happened in forum, I was in the office having a conversation with some staff, and this student came to the office, and he just kind of lingered by the door and kind of peeked his head in, he was talking to us, and then he peeked his head in, he said, I don't know if you guys know this or saw, but I was one of the students standing tonight. And so during a moment, and on a Thursday night at camp, while all the other students were out playing activities and having fun, a few staff and I got to talk with this student, ask him what it meant, and what he was excited about, and why he decided to do that then. And at the end of the week, he wrote on his eval, we asked him a few questions, and one of the questions is, how did you take a step closer to Jesus? And how would you sum up your week at camp? And this is what he wrote. He said, I took a step closer to Jesus, and that I'm going to follow God for the rest of my life. And when we asked him to sum up his week, he said, well, I mean, drew an arrow pointing that he had accepted Jesus for the first time. Said, I mean that. So it's crazy and great. I'm just excited for my new life. I saw his mom recently at the Moms and Daughters event, and he's coming back this upcoming summer to camp. And I looked, and there were 23 students just that one week, 23 students in that junior high week who gave a first-time commitment to follow Jesus. And so I see God planting seeds every single week at Ponderosa and all our youth programs. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer for some of those to come to fruition. But man, it is powerful what God does in this place. Seeing students' lives being impacted and my life being impacted as well. And so thank you to each of you and your prayers and your support in the way that it impacts so many lives and what God does in this place. So thank you for being part of the story.
The Outdoor Science School, we expose students to creation, and we invite them in to these moments of awe. This school year, that's a moment of awe right there, in a unique and special way. This school year, about 4,000 students, cabin leaders, and teachers from a huge variety of public and private schools and all over this state will attend our program. And we minister to them through really unique and special ways. We provide a top-notch program. We give opportunities for character growth and development, and we are the hands and feet of Jesus. I want to tell you about a cabin leader named Tegan. He's a college-aged guy who came to our program, and when he first came as a cabin leader, we could tell right off the bat that he was a really special guy. He basically embodied all of the traits that made him the world's greatest cabin leader. He was really great with kids, really high energy. He loved singing songs and playing games with us, and at the same time, he was responsible and trustworthy, which we really liked that. And so the first week that Tegan came to the Outdoor Science School as a cabin leader, our whole staff just really connected well with him, and we really enjoyed getting to know him. a couple months later, we ran into a situation where a school was shy of cabin leaders. And so I reached out to Tegan and I said, hey, can you come back? And he was like, yes, I want to come back. I want to be there. I would love to come back. And so Tegan came back for another week. And right off the bat, it was clear that he just wasn't himself. He was just carrying a weight with him that he wasn't before. And I got the chance to connect with Tegan that week. And he said that he was recently married and then now going through a separation. And so we didn't really know where Tegan was at this time in his spiritual journey, but as a team, we surrounded him and we encouraged him, and he opened up to the entire Outdoor Science team about where he was at and what he was going through, and we took this opportunity to just surround him and pray for him. And as we were doing that, it was so clear that God was moving in him as he just was weeping. Tegan came to Mount Hermon as a volunteer cabin leader, but what he experienced was an authentic, Christ-centered community, and it had a huge impact on him. So I just want to say thank you so much for the part you play in this ministry. I had the chance to contact Tegan recently, and he told me that Mount Hermon is one of his favorite places on earth, and he said that when he finishes college, he wants to come and work for the Outdoor Science School. So thank you so much for supporting this ministry and supporting the Outdoor Science School as we reach students in a unique and special way.
Hi. I know that says Becca Singley, but if I'm going to talk to you about children's ministry, I have to tell you that for most of my time working at Mount Hermon, I've gone by Sweets. That is my camp name, and for most of my years on staff, I worked down at Redwood Camp, and I want to share a story with you today that embodies what we hope and pray for every student who comes through our children's programs. And we say that we're a counselor-centered ministry, a counselor-focused ministry, believing that we have the best platform to share Jesus with campers when we're in a relationship with them, when we know them and they know us, and they're sharing life with us, and we get to speak the truth of who Jesus is to them. And so at Redwood, we run program from second grade through sixth grade, and so it's just a fun age where we just get to kind of go crazy and have so much fun together. And sometimes we have campers who come for only 1 year. We just kind of get them for 1 year. Or other times we have campers who come every year they can. And so we had a camper who came every year she could, from the moment she was able to, going into second grade to all the way through sixth grade. And she came to us for most of the summers I was on staff. I've been on staff for 7 summers. So, which is a lot, if you didn't know. And like I said, most of them were down at Redwood Camp, and I think I missed one of her summers that she was a camper there. And when she was in sixth grade, after I had spent years seeing her come to camp over and over again, she came for her final summer at Redwood. And it was a summer that most of us who were on our leadership team had worked most of her summers as well. And so we were just a group who knew her really well, who had seen her grow up and come through Redwood's ministry. And as she was at camp, we had the opportunity throughout her week, I think every one of us on leadership, there's 6 of us, had the opportunity to sit down and have a one-on-one conversation with her. Just asking her about life, about where she was at, what this week meant to her being her final one at Redwood. And as she shared with us, we had known her story previously. She didn't come from a Christian home. Her parents sent her to camp because they knew it was a great place and she'd have fun and be safe and be loved and taken care of there. And she wasn't coming back to Mount Hermon after the summer. They went to, I think, a YMCA camp or something like that, but sixth grade was the cutoff for her coming to Mount Hermon. And so we spent this week with her. We all had these really cool conversations with her. And on Friday night, we end our time as just us with a thing we call Luminaria. And so we do our final worship service, and then we send cabins out to spend some time together just talking about their weeks and what they've learned and what they've experienced in this place and how they go home from here and how they take what they've learned and let it impact their lives and their hearts. And so Friday night happened, and we don't really get to hear a lot of what happens in those nights as we're not on the field with campers having those conversations. But on Saturday morning during our pancake breakfast, Daniela's counselor came running up to me, and she goes, "Sweets, you're not going to believe what happened." And I go, "What? What happened? You know, are we okay? Is everyone okay?" She goes, "Yeah, we're great. Daniela accepted Jesus last night." And she was just so excited and thrilled that this had happened. And she goes, "You know, maybe don't tell anyone. You know, she kind of wants to tell people herself. And she, you know, she doesn't want it to be a big deal." And I was like, "Okay." So I walk up to her. She's in line for pancakes, which is huge at Redwood. We love our pancakes. And I just kind of bend down beside her, and I said, "Hey, I heard something really cool happen last night, and you made a really big decision." She got these really wide eyes, like I wasn't supposed to know, and I was like, "Oh, maybe that was a mistake." But she goes, yeah, I did. And I could tell she was a little nervous and maybe a little fearful, and I said, "Hey, like, what's going on? Like, why this anxiety?" And she goes, "I'm really afraid what my parents are going to say, and I don't really want them to know." And I said, "Okay, I won't make a big deal." But I looked at her. I told myself I wasn't going to, like, tear up, but oh well. I looked at her and I said, "The decision you made is huge. And I won't go tell everyone, but I want you to know that we are so excited for you. And we love you, and we are thrilled that you made this decision and that you decided to follow Jesus." And I just told her, "You know, you might go home, and it might not be what your parents want to hear, but I want you to know that we in this place are very excited for you, and I want you to remember that as you leave here." And it was just this sweet moment of a camper having come through our program every year she could, and every year she heard the truth of who Jesus was. But it was that final summer that God finally took that seed and grew it into something amazing and captured her heart and made her his. And it was just an incredible moment. And I felt like just perfectly captured what we hope for in our campers. And we know not all of them will accept Jesus. We know that some aren't ready and some already have and some that might come later in life. But we hope that as they walk onto property, as they go through our children's programs, whether it's at Redwood or at day camp or childcare, that they know that there are people in this place and on this earth who love them deeply and who are praying for them and who want them to know the truth of who Jesus is. So I just want to say thank you for that. You all are, I know, praying for us as we walk through our summers, and you're instrumental in what we do in this place. And you don't get to see it every day like we maybe do, but we couldn't be here and doing what we're doing without all of your support and your prayers. So thank you for that.
Well, I received this letter 11 days ago from Captain Brenner Campbell. He's chaplain of the U.S. Air Force. It's a hard letter, it's an important letter, and it's a letter that talks about impact. "Dear Dave, my brother in Christ, I pray this finds you well. I wanted to take a moment to write and let you know about the amazing work that our airmen, soldiers, sailors, and Marines do downrange. As you know, I was the sole Air Force chaplain in southern Afghanistan in 2015-2016, based out of Kandahar. I had the privilege of being requested by the Army Special Forces to serve their men who were out at various forward operating bases where the danger is very present. It was August 25th, and I received a phone call at 4:30 in the morning, and as you can imagine, when the phone rings that early, it can't be good. I was asked to get out to the flight line ASAP, as there were 3 WIAs and 2 KIAs. When I arrived, the commander informed me that the 2 killed in action were Air Force controllers, and the 3 that had been wounded were Army Special Forces. They told me a Black Hawk was inbound with the wounded and the deceased and asked me to perform a ramp ceremony for the 2 that had been killed upon their arrival. I climbed into the belly of the cargo plane that would transport the fallen out of Kandahar and prepared for what I would say. It was only moments later that the first Black Hawk with the Red Cross on it taxied up to the back of the C-130, and the first casualty was offloaded and carried up through approximately 50 Special Forces soldiers up the back ramp of the plane and then placed at my feet. They draped our nation's colors on top of him, and I knelt over his body and prayed for the family that was about to get the worst news they ever received. As I did, that second Black Hawk taxied up. The second detail retrieved the second fallen warrior. I read out of a couple of the Psalms as they laid the second body by the first. And once again, our flag was draped over the young airman, and I knelt and I prayed over him as well. As I stood up, the Special Forces came through the back of the aircraft, knelt beside each of their fallen comrades, and most of them stopped and gave me a big hug before the exit at the front of the plane. As I turned to leave, two young men with tears in their eyes came up to me and told me it should have been them. You see, Dave, the two men that had just been killed were getting ready to leave Afghanistan in the next couple of days. And the two men standing in front of me were their replacements, who had offered to go out on this mission, but the two who were getting ready to leave insisted on completing the mission themselves. This is the kind of selfless sacrifice that I saw time and time again from our brave warriors who leave their comforts of home here in America to secure our blessings of liberty and fight the battles for freedom on other soil so that our soil may attempt to remain peaceful. I prayed with those two young men and asked the Holy Spirit to bring comfort that only He could bring. I asked God to give them the strength and endurance as their deployment was just beginning. And the first thing they encountered was the death of those whose place that they were taking. We exited the aircraft, and the plane taxied to the end of the runway. And as it took off to start the long journey home, where those two brave souls would be laid to rest, the sergeant major called us to attention, and we saluted them as it would be the last time any of us would get to render such an honor to those two special operators. As we turned to disperse, I was snatched up into an ambulance and driven to the ER where the three wounded in action had been dropped off. I walked into the emergency room and met Chris, who had been shot through his right arm. It only took me a few seconds to realize that the three who had been wounded had been in the country less than 48 hours. As Chris was prepped for surgery, his wife was on the cell phone screaming and wondering how in the world he had already been shot when he had just left home. I was able to bring a sense of calm to the situation and assured her that he'd be okay. I prayed with Chris before he went into surgery, and as they took him in, he kept saying, "Just patch me up and let me get back to my unit." And I told him, "Sorry, Chris, you just purchased your ticket home." As Chris went into the operating room, they brought Nathan out. Now, Nate was a massive man who had been shot square in the chin. 1 inch higher or 1 inch lower, he would have been killed instantly. After Nate had been shot, he continued to attack the enemy and was credited for at least one of the two enemies that were taken out. His bravery and tenacity were simply amazing. The final wounded warrior was a young, first-term communications soldier who had been tagged at the last minute to help this special ops group get set up. And as he was recouping from surgery, he told me he shouldn't even have been there. And I paused for a moment and I said, "Mike, when you signed up to serve, you told Uncle Sam that he could send you wherever he needed you to go to fight for freedom. You have had the unfortunate privilege of paying a great price today for my freedoms and the freedoms that my wife and three little children at home get to enjoy every day. Thank you for your willingness to serve. It's because you and others like you have raised your right hand and sworn to defend everything I hold dear that I was willing to raise my right hand and share the love of God with you. What I'm saying, Mike, is the only reason I do what I do is because people like you were willing to do what you do. And I'm delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but my life as well because of your service to our nation." Dave, what a privilege it was for me to serve some of our nation's finest in their darkest hours. To be the light of Christ in that dark place was such an honor as a servant of the Lord. And I tell you this story, Dave, because of the amazing gift that you all provide at Mount Hermon for our returning warriors from the front lines and for their families. I've heard those wonderful stories time and time again for you and Mount Hermon to give so selflessly to those families who need it most, who have selflessly served our nation, is a huge gift and an eternal blessing for each who come to know Christ as their Savior, even while attending family camps. Please keep up the good fight. Know that your service to our warriors is known around the globe. Love you, Dave, and I thank our Heavenly Father for you and Mount Hermon and the ministry of Mount Hermon to our defenders of liberty. Captain Brenner Campbell, Chaplain, U.S. Air Force.
Hey, Mount Hermon, Chaplain Campbell here. Thank you so much for taking care of our airmen, soldiers, sailors, and Marines. Not only have you taken care of them, but a special thank you for taking care of us. You see, for the last two summers, we've had the privilege of coming out to Mount Hermon and enjoying the many benefits of getting to fellowship with the body of Christ. Hey, God bless each and every one of you, and we look forward to being at Mount Hermon once again.
Thanks, Mount Hermon!
Hello from Kidder Creek, and so good to be with you all here tonight. We are excited at Kidder Creek because in less than 1 week, or actually 1 week and 1 day, our staff begin to arrive. And is Katie in here? Katie Clausen? Well, Katie might be coming up to join us, but we have a few summer staff in here, and we are excited for another summer. We are excited because summer means stories of lives transformed, and that's what it's all about. Right, so we get to go up and share adventures and share experiences with campers, but really we get to share the love of God with them, and really great to be a part of the stories that we get to hear each week at the end of the week of camp. One of the things that we do at Kidder Creek is at our staff meeting on Friday nights, we share stories. The counselors, we all get together and we share stories of, hey, this is what was happening this week, and what we do is we say, yay, God, and then we clap. So let's do that together, because I think we've already heard some pretty amazing stories of what God is doing through the ministry of Mount Hermon. So let's do that together. Yay, God. Yeah, thank you for that. That's really getting me excited, even more so for summer. So last summer, we had a boy named Hector that came to camp, and he came during the 4th of July week. Hector came with Camp Hope. And he was there during the 4th of July week, and he had a great time at camp. But as he was getting ready to leave for camp, Hector's mom pulled him aside and said to him, just because you go to this camp doesn't mean you're going to change. You're just like us. You're never going to amount to anything. And so I don't know, many of you may not know very much about Camp Hope. It's a unique camp that we get to partner with. We run 5 weeks of Camp Hope Camp up at Kidder Creek each summer. And it's a really unique opportunity. These kids would never have an opportunity to come to camp. So we have about 250 kids that come through the Camp Hope program, and really just an opportunity for us to share God's love with them and really offer them hope. So Hector was there. He had a great time at camp. I love camp in that when the kids come to camp, especially, you know, it happens every week, right? When kids get off the bus or they're just showing up, they're just kind of, you know, looking around, a little bit nervous. But then by the end of the week, it's kumbaya, you know, arms around each other. Everybody's having a great time. And I love that, especially with Camp Hope, because these kids are broken, all of them, every single one of them that's there that week. And then by the end of the week, just to see the difference. So Hector, at the end of the week, they were getting ready to get on the bus to head back down to San Diego. And he was kind of standing off to the side. And we noticed that he was kind of crying a little bit. And Casey Gwynn, many of you might know him. He's the founder of Camp Hope, and he was there that week, and he went over to Hector. He said, hey, what's going on? And Hector said, well, I don't want to leave. I want to stay here. I want to live here. I want to work here. And Casey, knowing that all of our staff are Christians, said to him, well, what do you believe about God? And Hector said, yeah, I believe in God, that there is a God. And he said, well, what do you believe about Jesus? And he said, I don't really know too much about Jesus yet. And Casey said to him, well, hey, later on this summer, we're having another week of Camp Hope. It's going to be a wilderness week. And you can come and you can learn about Jesus that week. Would you like to come? And, you know, Hector's eyes, yes, absolutely. Of course I want to come. So Hector came back and got some great pictures there. We had six boys that came and two counselors, and they had an awesome time rafting and going backpacking. And throughout that time, they were studying. We built our curriculum for them for that week based on the Luke 15, on the Prodigal God, the book by Tim Keller. And in that book, it talks about our Father. and about how even though we were broken and we may have run off, or maybe we were really good and we didn't run off, but God loves us all the same, and he is willing to run out to us and love us and show us his love. And what a great thing for Hector to hear, whose parents had said, you know what, you're not going to amount to anything. But then to be at camp and to hear that Jesus loves you and he made you and he knows you and he's willing to run out to you and embrace you. That was what they learned throughout their time out in the woods, backpacking and rafting. And this is what Hector had to say about his time at camp, which I think is just awesome. This week I learned that Jesus is good. I asked him into my life to keep me going on the right path, and that he loves me the way I am. He loves me the way I am. What an awesome thing for Hector to learn, that Jesus loves him for who he is uniquely and loves him and is willing to sacrifice everything for him, and that he can be a child of God. And so praise God that Hector gave his life to Jesus that week there in the mountains with the other Camp Hope boys. And so thank you to you all for the part that you play in making those stories happen. Those kids would not come to camp if it wasn't for the camperships and the things that we're able to offer them. And so thank you for being a part of stories just like Hector's, stories of lives transformed, and what an impact. And so thank you very much for your part in that. Thanks.
Well, good evening, everyone. So great to be here, and thanks for coming away from your homes to spend some time with us here at your Mount Hermon home tonight. And my name is Nate Peffercorn. I serve here on the executive team as the Vice President of Strategy and Adventure, and I get to talk to you a little bit about our adventure ministries this evening. As you know, Mount Hermon has always been a welcome place, and I hope that you still feel that and you experience that aroma of Christ that just lays on this place. And this has always been a place that's welcome to people that are unfamiliar with the church, you know, people that are unfamiliar with who Christ is and who God is. And in recent years, we've worked really hard to build upon that tradition of being a welcome place for unbelievers to come and to experience God's creation and to ultimately receive Christ. And it's been a very intentional thing on our part, recognizing that our culture is changing. The culture of the Bay Area is changing. What people know about the gospel is changing. And so we want to reach into that culture, and we want to make an impact on that culture and create experiences where people that perhaps would never darken the doors of a church may be willing to come and experience something like this instead. And so all of the programs that we have at Mount Hermon, including our adventure programs, they all have these common elements, being biblically based, sharing the love of Christ, loving intentional staff, intentional programs. That runs throughout all of our things. I want to read you something that we use in our staff training and adventures. And it says, Mount Hermon Adventures uses its beautiful, natural setting as a context to provide unique and memorable learning experiences. They're an example of kingdom living in harmony with creation and in relationship with other people. These experiences are based on models of how right relationships work, often in the face of unusual or challenging circumstances, and provide opportunities to teach spiritual truth in powerful ways. Sequoia Aerial Adventure engages our guests in special, worshipful connections that transcend our efforts. All of what we do allows people to observe and appreciate God's creative power and the wonders of creation through direct experience. And for me personally, I've really worked the better part of the last 20 years of my life of creating experiences where people can get outdoors into God's creation and have an encounter with a loving and intentional staff person, and that staff person can then ask them intentional questions that are going to lead them to examine their life and ideally accept Christ. And for me, a lot of it comes down to Romans 1:20, which says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his internal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse." I really believe that if we get people out here, we get them into his creation, their eyes will be opened. And we see that all the time in our team building programs and on the Sequoia Aerial Adventure course. Just semi-recently, we had a team building group out from Oakland, California, a group of students. And this particular group of students had not really ever been out of the city. Not everyone is so fortunate to be able to travel and see, you know, this amazing state of California that we live in. But this one particular man, as I was kind of greeting the group, this one particular man got out of the bus in the parking lot, and he looks around with wide eyes, and he's like, "I've never been in wilderness like this before." Keep in mind, he was in the Fieldhouse parking lot, right? We're like 7 minutes away from a Starbucks right here. So, but for that young man, that simple of experience of coming to Mount Hermon, getting out of the van, standing in the parking lot, looking at the trees, that was that moment of inspiration, that moment of awe, where his eyes were open and we could begin to speak into his life. So the creation really is the context that we use in all of our programs for this to occur. And you see it time and time and again where it accelerates the spiritual growth and the insight in a person's life just by coming to be here at Mount Hermon. And I tell our team building staff this all the time as we're working with corporate groups and all sorts of different kinds of school groups. I feel like we get to cheat a little bit. I've had the experience of doing team building programs in ballrooms or at places of work. And it's a little bit harder to get the group engaged and to buy into the experience. Here, you just get them out of the van. They look at the redwood trees. They're like, "Cool, I'm ready to learn. What do you have for me?" And I think it's because all of us, or most of us anyway, you know, we have these moments in our life where we've seen a beautiful sunset. We've seen an amazing waterfall. We've stood on a mountaintop. And those are those times where we feel really close to God. And those moments happen for us at Mount Hermon all the time. I think a lot of us in this room, we can probably think in our own minds about a special place that we have on camp. Maybe it's a place down by the creek, or it's the Victory Circle, you know, a special place on the Sequoia Trail. We have these places where God speaks to us through his creation. And what really makes the difference in what we do here is not only are we creating this opportunity for people to be in God's creation and connect with him, but we have the loving, caring staff right there alongside them that are ready to ask them the right question at the right time. And that happens from the moment someone steps on the grounds here. It's one of the things I love about working here. This is from one of our customer service team that welcomes guests as they check in at the Adventure Center. One of my favorite questions to hear being asked of our customer service specialists up at the front desk in the Adventure Center is, "What is this place?" We get that a lot when it's someone's first time here at Mount Hermon. Recently, a lady asked, "Are you a part of that Christian thing?" I was at the desk that day, so I got to engage with her and explain to her that, yes, we are part of that Christian thing. We are part of Mount Hermon, the Christian Camp and Conference Center. She went on to have a conversation, and by the end of that, she asked for a summer camp brochure and said that she was going to send her son to summer camp. Just through a little conversation of someone checking in to do the Sequoia Early Adventure course. And then, of course, it continues while people are actually out there in the trees. So these are some comments that I pulled just from this last month's evaluations. The course that we undertook did not specifically include team building, and yet we found it. It naturally resulted anything beyond what we expected, thanks to the great staff. We bonded. We had a lot of fun. We enjoyed God's creation, and we were all reminded that we can do all things through Christ that gives us strength. God bless you guys. This was the best corporate event I've had in my 20-plus years of doing corporate team-building experiences. I was so impressed with Rob's leadership and gentle but effective command of the session. One person in our group turned out to be acrophobic, which I think means scared of heights. And I watched Rob stay with her and work with her with incredible patience, reassurance, and understanding so that she got through the course without panicking. Both Rob and Julian worked overtime that night until 4:30 instead of being scheduled to be done at 4 o'clock so that everyone in our group could complete the activity. They didn't rush us. They took care of us. It's this loving, Christ-centered attention poured out on our guests by our staff, that's really giving Mount Hermon a platform to speak into culture and to speak into the lives of these people that, like I said, may never darken the doors of a church. It's a tremendous opportunity that we have and a tremendous responsibility. One more quick story. But just earlier this week, we hosted a group from the Palo Alto Police Department. And this group was a group of, what do we call them? They're basically, so they brought a tactical commander, and the team is in charge of SWAT team things, so whatever the SWAT team does, and then crisis negotiations. of all different kinds. And so Brad is actually a family camper. And so he has come and he's seen Mount Hermon. He's had a family camp experience. And he chose to bring this team that is literally stepping into life and death situations on a daily basis. He chose to bring that team out to Mount Hermon so that we could love on them, so that we could teach them from our biblically based values, team building, so we could help them with their crisis negotiation skills. And it blows me away the opportunities that we have to speak into culture, to speak into organizations that normally would never seek out a faith-based experience. But here they are coming to us, looking to us for our expertise, and we get to share with them through our staff this amazing love of Christ. And so as you've heard all these stories tonight, I think it's amazing to just think about the diversity of everything that we do at Mount Hermon. There's so many different things going on here, from things for tiny young people to old people, everything in between, things in the trees, things in the ocean, you know, all these different experiences. And sometimes I hear concerns that Mount Hermon is doing too much, or that Mount Hermon is trying to be all things to all people. But what Mount Hermon is doing is we're not trying to be all things to all people. We're trying to be one thing to all people. And that one thing is we want to create places and experiences where people can meet God and have their lives transformed. We want their marriages to be transformed. We want their characters to be transformed. We want their minds to be transformed. Our objective is really so that anybody, regardless of their age, what their spiritual background is, their socioeconomic circumstance, their ethnicity, their church background, we want those people to meet God in such a way that that moment transforms their lives. And it's happening. And it's happening because of people like you praying for us, supporting us financially. And so I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart for allowing all of us to do this together. So thank you.
Wow. I hope that you all are happy that you're part of that Christian thing, part of that Mount Hermon thing. I know every time, I hear stories all the time. I mean, I work here, but every time I hear these moments, it's like, wow, it's amazing that I have the privilege of working here. Thank you, God. Never would I have imagined 25 years ago that I would ever be at Mount Hermon, and now Mount Hermon has infinitely impacted and transformed my life as being able to work here. And thank you all so much. I hope that you have been touched and enriched and encouraged and excited and all those good things that we want you to feel as being part of our associates family. So we still have a little more going on tonight. A couple of reminders. We need, if you have kids down at day camp, go get the kids. And then come back here, because Hudson Lee, we actually have just a fabulous young man who's one of our interns who's an illusionist, and he's supposed to be super good. So I'm very excited that he's no schlocky act. So get back here, everybody. We don't do schlocky. Oh.
I just had him do my couples retreat. He's phenomenal.
See? First person, another story. So get back here for 8:30. Just a reminder, espresso cart opens at 7 a.m. tomorrow. If you feel like doing some more stuff, down at the fountain afterwards, the fountain will be open, I think, till 10:30, and then tomorrow after lunch. You can use your Two-Wits at the fountain or the espresso cart. They're good for espresso drink or a single scoop ice cream. And the bookshop, just FYI, the bookshop's got a little sale going on. If you wear your name badge in there, you'll get 20% off, and then they're going to have 30, 40% off tables out there. Oh, also, the centerpieces, I'm just going to do an earlier announcement, the centerpieces that we have on the tables, if you would like to purchase one of those for a mother in your life or just for your own self, those are $20, and you can give the money to myself or Andrew, JR, Topher, Karen, and we will be glad to get that to where it needs to go. But I'll remind you again tomorrow, but you might want to plan ahead because there's a variety of different styles, okay? So would you join me in prayer as we end this evening? Heavenly Father, I am honored to be part of the ministry of Mount Hermon. Thank you for helping us know that we just want to be one thing. We want to be sharers of your love to help transform everyone that comes on these grounds. God, help us to be a conduit of love and grace and mercy to every person. Help us to be able to show that love not only to our guests, but to each other. And thank you for the opportunity that we are just one huge family and that we get to spend eternity not only with you, but with each other. And I am just so grateful. Thank you for allowing me to be part of this ministry. We give the rest of this evening to you, and thank you for all that you're going to be sharing with these wonderful folks tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.